Hi, this is Juliana Garcia, and this is another episode of Fresh from the Hill, and I am here with Chris Merkley, class of 2001. Thanks for being in today.
Thanks for having me.
So, where do you want to begin? Your journey through Cornell, how you got to Cornell, and then what you're doing now. It sounds like you have a lot of exciting projects going on.
I guess we'll start with Cornell.
Okay.
I grew up not too far away from here, actually, on the other side of Cortland, New York.
Oh. It's
a very small town called Truxton. And applied for the landscape architecture program at Cornell. About halfway through the degree, I realized I was going to prefer to try to make a career out of music. So I finished the degree, but then after graduation, started traveling and touring, actually with a band that we formed at Cornell with friends from Cornell. So after graduation, traveled around a lot in Europe, actually playing in the streets and clubs with a band called The Crooners, a couple other friends from Cornell that we started, and it was a very meandering path that brought me back upstate, but I've been back in Cortland for about the past 10 years.
Okay. So you're in Cortland now, and you have this exciting new project that's coming up called The Orchard, correct?
Correct.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. So Cortland was awarded a grant from New York State.
Okay.
Cuomo was offering 10 grants to different cities in New York of $10 million each for downtown revitalization. And Cortland was awarded one of those grants, which I submitted a project for. As a part of it, they had public and private components. So one of the private projects was The Orchard. It was a proposal to create a music venue with multi-use, like mixed entertainment, food and beverage, but primarily focused on the music venue portion with recording capabilities for, say, like video and audio. Trying to roll a bunch of different services basically to fill the void of things that I saw that we were lacking in the area. There's plenty of recording studios, but there isn't a streamlined approach for capturing live content, which I've just recognized the need for in my projects and my bands as an artist, but then also realizing there's an opportunity to create something that was of service in the area and just entertainment in Cortland, which was a part of their effort to try to reimagine Main Street and introduce new entertainment and arts components. So.
So I'm very excited about this because I also live in Cortland, and it'll be great to see something like this happen and have a lot of like local acts. Are you expecting people from all over to want to utilize this venue once you get it up and going?
Yeah, it'll be both. It'll be a mix of local and regional acts and then whatever national acts like that fit.
You know, it'll
be neighborhood of like 300 person capacity room. It's gonna be very cool and different. It's actually going to be on the second floor, and part of the renovations include an addition to the second floor, because right now the particular building, it was formerly an office supply store that a family owned and ran for like over 100 years. So it's very long and narrow, and the second floor is only a third of that building, so we're going to add on to the second floor but then also leave a portion of the rooftop open for a rooftop deck. And so the venue in the summertime can open out into that space with, say, like a large format garage door that opens up to a rooftop deck patio space.
Oh, my gosh. I love everything about what you're telling me right now.
Yeah. So it's on Orchard Street and Main Street. That's where the name comes from.
Awesome.
And yes, I definitely want to focus on supporting the music scene, local music scene, just because Cortland doesn't have a dedicated venue right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of places that are hosting music, but there's not like a dedicated stage with proper lighting and sound systems in place.
Yeah.
So that was the big push for that, just to have a proper venue in town. But then also provide these other services. There'll be mini bowling on the ground floor.
Oh my gosh.
It's like small scale, not like the like 20-foot thing you see in the bar, but it's like a maybe 2/3 scale.
Okay.
It's just smaller balls, smaller lanes. But everything functions the same. Just an activity for people.
Yeah, that's great.
Of all ages to enjoy, yeah.
So this seems like you're doing so many different projects. Okay, so you're a musician, right? You have your band. And you're going to subcontract people out to build this? Like, you're also like the project lead? The jack of all trades over here.
Yeah, it's a lot of new territory for me.
Yes, oh my gosh.
You know, I finally get to put my landscape architecture degree to use.
That's
a little
awesome.
Bit. So I'll be able to have a hand in part of the design of the space, but I'll be working with architects. The real estate development company that owns the building currently, I'll be working closely with them to develop the building because right now it's just an empty shell. But yeah, I will be stepping into a number of different roles and ultimately, you know, owner and operator of the business. So
that's
my
awesome.
Days of kind of open, scheduled,
freewheeling
musician are coming to a close for a while. But I'm excited about the change and the opportunity that's going to bring to town. So
how did you pitch this to them, right? If like you're not necessarily a developer, how are you like, hey, I'm like this musician guy, let me build this whole thing, give me $1 million.
Yeah, I mean, that's
like, how did that happen? How do I get in on this action?
I'm still asking myself the same question. No, I mean, I have an incredible network of people.
Okay.
Included in that are, you know, hotel school friends who have gone on to great success in the restaurant and bar industries. Actually, my former bandmate from the Crooners, one of those members, he's down in New York City now, and he works for one of the largest liquor brand labels as basically an ambassador and program director for them, and very knowledgeable in bars and restaurants and has worked in and out of them his whole life, as well as some other Cornellian friends. So I have this network of friends. My last real job was Cornell Catering back in the day. So I had a little bit of experience in food and beverage just from that and like event planning. And that kind of rolled into forming and organizing events in town. So I actually have a music festival in my house called Seedstock every year. It's like a big house party. We just had our 11th year of that. And I joined up on the Main Street Music Series in Cortland to help with that nonprofit. So I was getting more into community-based activities and organizing events.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess just looking at, I don't really have a resume, but if they were to look at my resume, it showed a wide variety of experience that lent itself to being able to successfully pull this off.
Yeah, and like leveraging your connections and knowing how to like get all the people involved who have the expertise that maybe you don't hold at this moment.
Exactly.
Right?
And
that's amazing.
Ultimately, you know, it's definitely going to take an incredible team of people, you know, beyond me to run each aspect of the business. But I'm excited about learning on the go and pulling that team together.
Yeah, that's so exciting. So did you come up to any challenges when you were like brainstorming this idea or anything like that?
Brainstorming the ideas are the fun part.
Yeah.
Like I said, the real estate development company that owns the building has actually extensive experience in developing projects and actually has worked on a number of grant projects. So they know how to navigate those paths as well. So just working with them is a huge boost in confidence because of their experience. And they do incredible quality work. They have very high standards for the work that they do. So I'm really excited about partnering with them to transform this building. I'm sure there's going to be tons of challenges that I will run into. Right now, it's basically in the contracting phase.
Mm-hmm.
So the schedule we've laid out basically calls for construction to begin at the end of this year and potentially open in spring or summer of 2021. So we plan for an 18-month build out, trying to under promise and over deliver.
Yeah.
But
it's a great model.
We'll see what we run into along the way. Yeah.
So this is so exciting. Oh my gosh. Okay. So I really want to hear about the after school special. I feel like this is going to throw people for a loop. So give me the deets.
Okay. Yeah. It's, again, like I said, I like projects. Had an idea to basically build my own tour bus. So I researched the idea. At the time I was living in Brooklyn. You know, it's like one of those like artist lofts and Bushwick, back when they were trying to call it East Williamsburg and the hip kids were moving in and taking over these factories. And I was like, look, you know, I grew up in the country and I found myself in this, you know, city loft space. And I was like, you know, I could build a bus as big as this apartment and then I'd have like a tour bus and I could put a recording studio and have, you know, everything I need, you know, mobile and on the go. So I just started researching the idea. I actually blame one of my friends from the hotel school here. I blame a paperweight of his for getting the idea to build a bus. He had this paperweight that said, what would you attempt to do if you knew you could not fail? And so at the time, I was like, what's something really big that I have no idea how to do that would be ambitious? And I'll just tell myself I won't fail. So I came up with the idea to build a bus. And currently it's a 40-foot vehicle. It's kind of gigantic. I got it in Kentucky, drove it back probably illegally through 11 states. But it's since been retitled as an RV, so I don't need like a special license or anything to drive
That's
it.
That's good.
Yeah. And basically, it's converted into like a tour home. The plan is to make it more of a green, sustainable vehicle. It's a diesel engine, so I can convert it over to run off vegetable oil.
That's awesome.
And I'd like to install solar panels on the roof, at least to supplement the power needs. I don't, depending on what I use it for, if I say I load it up with speakers and put on an outdoor concert, I'm not going to be able to run those off solar alone. But the idea will be just to incorporate as many sustainable ideas as possible. So currently, yeah, it's there's a page that shows the construction process on oldboyrecords.com and kind of where it got to now. And at this point, I raised the roof a foot and a half and installed 4 slide out. I say rooms, they're not rooms, but like you see on RVs, they're like pop outs.
Mm-hmm.
So each one of those has a convertible couch like bed in it. So there's 2 in the front, 2 in the back. And so essentially there's like 5 beds, but they're not bunk beds. So the idea was like build comfort for, you know, a small crew or like a small band to be able to tour comfortably. Yeah. And then the idea is in the back, once I install the electric system, be able to run a recording studio, just a mobile kind of command unit. For
no big deal.
Recording. Yeah, I'm glad I kind of waited on that though, because technology has been changing so fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's been so simplified. You know, so right now with a laptop and a digital mixing board, you can pretty much have a recording studio wherever you go. But yeah, that's the main idea. It's just it's a big vehicle. I come from a family of vehicle people. It's like my dad was a train engineer.
Vehicle people.
I don't know how to put it. It's just like my grandma, my grandparents were both pilots. My uncle's a pilot. My dad was a railroad engineer, so he ran trains. It was either a bus or a boat.
Wait, was your grandma a lady pilot?
She still is, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
She's kind
Shout
of
Shout out to Grandma Merkley. Yeah, that's amazing.
She just turned... This is actually my mom's mother.
I'm so very sorry.
It's Grandma Rorick, but okay. Yeah.
Sorry, Grandma Rorick.
No, it's okay. She's an amazing woman. I just visited her a couple weeks ago for her 90th birthday.
Happy birthday. My gosh.
Yeah, she's awesome. She still flies. It's kind of crazy. I was teasing them. I'm like, we got to look in the Guinness Book of World Records, Grandma, because I don't know.
For real, though.
Pilots there. But yeah, she was, you know, I mean, there's certainly female pilots before her, but she was an early.
Pilot pioneer of sorts.
Yes, very much. So she ran races a long time. There was an all-women's, it's called the Air Classic. It's an all-women's race across country. And she actually won it 2 years in a row at the age of like 89. It was kind of hilarious.
Okay, so I'll be interviewing her next, just so you know.
You might have to visit her in Utica. She's not a Cornellian, but she'd be happy to talk.
It's okay.
But yeah, so I joke and say, you know, that like modes of transportation in the family, like my grandfather would build planes. He'd build experimental craft.
Gosh.
So I don't know if I have to like blame him for this like desire to like custom build a vehicle. But growing up, it was always fun. There'd be like an airplane wing in their basement that he was in the process of building. So, and he was very much like an architect and an artist too. So I think maybe I was inspired by those early childhood memories of designing and building things. And maybe that's where I got the idea for the bus. But,
or because didn't you go to school for architecture?
For landscape architecture.
Okay. So it's like it had tangentially related.
Some building aspects to it. I've never really applied it, but
that's okay.
In my own ways, I guess I've applied the degree.
Yeah.
If not professionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's pretty amazing.
So, yeah, the bus. Look for the bus.
Keep my eyes peeled.
I'll bring it down to the orchard.
Yes. That would be great.
Yeah.
So, can you tell me a little bit more about Old Boy Records and things that are you still continuing?
Yeah. Well, so, everything with this venue, I think, is actually like kind of changing my approach to what I've been doing. And with Old Boy Records, it's been functioning as more of, I'd say more of like an artist collective.
Okay.
Really, and a label for people to work together and network and share resources. As I've started to develop more events and the plans for this project, I've been talking to more people about restructuring Old Boy Records. Just trying to find a new model, because mm-hmm. the old record label model has been changing so much, and I don't think anybody's really figured it out yet. I don't know that I'm necessarily going to figure it out and come up with a new model that's groundbreaking and innovative. But the idea is more of just networking, sharing resources, but mm-hmm. to provide more label resources through some of the people that I've met along the way.
Okay.
Who now can provide more of those services. And there's a company in Syracuse that I've been talking to about possibly merging with for Old Bay Records to be able to provide more a mix, like a hybrid of like an artist collective and a record label. So there'll be Old Boy version 5.0 coming out at the same time.
So when do you sleep then? Because it seems like you have a lot of moving parts, all the different operations you're doing.
I've mastered the art of looking busy.
Okay.
I think I'm actually going to be busy at the end of this year for the foreseeable future. It's tough. I keep, as a musician, later hours usually.
Mm-hmm.
But I've realized that now that I'm entering this other world, everybody else functions on a different schedule. So now I'm trying to shift that. But yeah, I sleep pretty well.
Excellent. I'm glad we could check in on that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's about to change.
Yeah. So that's so exciting. So are you still playing like around? Is that like another thing that you're still doing? Or are you going to cut back on that, you think? Or
I will inevitably cut back on the number of shows. I have been cutting back a little bit more, trying to like prepare for the transition. So
mm-hmm.
I guess trying to be a little bit more selective just about where I'm putting my energy and then finding the balance. I've like in the past, I mean, I've been a full-time musician since graduation. Work on almost 20 years now. So I've been very used to that lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
A couple times when I have changed that up, I realized how important it was to play, just to play shows. There was like, a time period when I was getting a little bit more into like television work and trying to create music for broadcasting. And I was playing less shows during that time. And I was really thrown off. And initially I didn't realize, what was going on. I was like, oh, I just have to play shows. Like, it's kind of like, it's like my meditation and it's like social therapy.
Yeah, like what about it brings joy to you, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's so ingrained in my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been for such a long time. I'll need to play music. It's just a matter of finding the balance and the time for it once all these projects start.
And I don't think we covered what type of music you play, the genre. Do you want to go into
that? Yeah, it's a mix.
Bit?
So I play solo shows.
Okay.
Acoustic mix. It's like singer-songwriter with a bass in, I'd say, like blues and Americana music. It's probably a little bit more country than I admit to. I never really thought of myself as a country music person, and it's definitely not traditional in mm-hmm. any way, but I'm from a rural area, so I think it rubbed off on me. But a lot of blues music, and then with my band projects, I have a band called Digger Jones, and that's, I would say, more of like a blues rock trio.
Okay.
Maybe if you cross the Lumineers with the Black Keys. Somewhere in there exists Digger Jones. And I actually have a new project I've been playing with a band called The Speculators. And they kind of started out as a bluegrass band. There was like a number of changes in personnel. And when I came, the band was starting to shift away from bluegrass. And so we kind of embraced that change and renamed the band and started writing just kind of open-ended original material. I'd say, I guess, in the Americana vein now, but less and less bluegrass, but it's still in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what do you like most about performing? You touched on it a little bit that it's like your meditation. It brings you joy. But like what exactly like brings that joy to your life about it?
I think ultimately just more and more I realize just how important it is to bring people together. And bringing people together, it shows simple in and of itself just how effective it is and how important it is right now. And for me to be able to engage that and not necessarily conduct it, but to be a part of shaping the experience,
mm-hmm.
Of a night, trying to write songs that people can relate to and run the range of emotions. And just, I guess, serve as a reminder that, we're all going through this experience together.
Yeah.
And these days, it seems more important to remind people that we're all on the same team.
Yeah.
Just trying to relate, I guess. And there's something unique about music. Like I say it's my meditation, but it's not, and it's not as if it's necessarily a very Zen state for me. But there are moments in time where, it's very tough to not be in the moment. mm-hmm. when playing music, and just to try to maintain a state of presence. Music does that in on its own, kind of automatically. And there's times it's almost, you know, it's almost like I'm a participant in something that's beyond me, you know. And it's hard to describe to someone who hasn't experienced it playing music, but there's moments in time when, you know, say a band locks together, it just creates this synergy between the musicians and the music, and everyone comes on the same page. And the idea is to ride that wave as long as possible. And, you know, ideally, like, you know, you'd have a whole night that rides that wave. But there's those glimpses and those moments of energy that everyone comes together in something musical. And it's just kind of this magical thing that happens and keeps us coming back for more.
Yeah.
So
it sounds like community organizing from like the music, like gathering point of view, right? Because you're talking about like the seed stock festival that you do at your house and like bringing people together. And now this new music venue, which I'm super jazzed about. I can't reiterate that enough. And just the playing shows in general, right? So it's like modern day community organizing. I love it.
Yeah. I guess, you know, for a long time, I'm almost embarrassed to admit, like I always had kind of a negative view of the word community. For some reason, there was something about it that turned me off. And I don't know if it needs to be rebranded or what, but it just, there was something about it that didn't appeal to me for the longest time. And I don't know why. And it sounds funny to say that, but I don't know if it just didn't seem hip or it didn't seem fun or cool. It's funny. And I'm just thinking out loud, but more and more recently, my definition of community has changed just from taking part in organizing events and realizing what happens when you just get people together. You know, they talk and they share ideas and they become inspired to do things. And I guess what I'm, you know, I just like, you know, I want to see these changes in Cortland. It's, you know, I didn't grow up in the city of Cortland, but it was the closest, you know, city to me in Truxton at least. And it's just realizing that we have the ability to create change.
Yeah.
And I think Cortland's just big enough where there's a wide variety of things to do. But it's just small enough where it has that very small town feel. I'm always surprised when I walk around downtown and I don't recognize people. I'm just like, where are you from? What are you
where
doing?
Where did you come from?
But then I realize, you know, Cortland, you know, there's a number of different communities within that community. And so I'm just, you know, using music, I'm just trying to bring those together. And if I inspire people to do the same in their own world and their own way, all the better.
Yeah. I really like that last part about like inspiring people to find like their own way of doing it, right? Like there's not like one set way of bringing everyone together. And so remembering like, okay, where are my talents? Like where are my strengths? How can I do this? Because it's so important, like you were saying, to bring people together, especially in this like current time, like political climate we're in. And I feel like music offers this like very unique way of bringing people who may not normally like interact with each other, socialize, right? But they all enjoy like what you're playing and what you're putting out, right? So it's like this amazing space that can like cultivate that community.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a neutral ground a lot of times.
Yeah, exactly.
Depending on the songs. I mean, there's plenty of people that, you know, have politically charged
yes.
Lyrics and songs and they direct that. I tend to not, you know, overtly do that in my songwriting. It's more just about personal experience and trying to share that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just that, you know, it's, I think, for me, I realized, you know, I'm attracted to a lot of different things. I enjoy different types of projects and learning a variety of skill sets along the way. But I've realized music and music events have been what I've been doing. So I should continue to do that and just try to grow it.
Yeah.
And just create a platform for it. So that's what I'm trying to do.
I love that. This has been so wonderful. I'm so glad we got to chat today. I'm really glad I got to meet you. And I'm looking forward to everything you're doing in Cortland. Do you have any like parting advice to people who maybe recently graduated, trying to find their footing, anything like that? You've already given us loads of wisdom. But if you have anything else that you would like to share with us.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it can be a tough question to try to find, to apply yourself to something that inspires you and take a career path that doesn't feel like a job. You know, I've always tried to,
yes,
I've never considered what I do work. And I joke that I don't have a real job. But I do think it's important just to find at least a general direction that has the inspiration in a way that it doesn't feel like work. If you can make your career your lifestyle, Sometimes it's good to separate those. I'm thinking about, you know, these recent changes for me, and I'm entering into like food and beverage and like hospitality essentially, which I guess music is in a way. It's, you know, it's a service and it's in the service industry in a certain sense, while it's an art form. But I guess, you know, when I was leaving Cornell, I was just following what at the time seemed most attractive to me for the lifestyle that I wanted to live. Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of cliches I could throw at this, you know, like follow your heart, follow your intuition. They all apply.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, you know, the answer doesn't come from your head. You know, when you ask yourself, you'll just feel that it's right. And if you're headed in the right direction. So you try to gain the skill of listening to yourself in that way. But I think giving yourself permission is important too. I think that's what we don't do enough of, is actually give ourselves permission to answer that question. Mm-hmm. Or ask the question to be able to answer it.
Yeah.
So just check in, you know. I guess that's my best advice, would be just check in and make sure of all the directions that you could head, the general direction that you're headed is the one that feels right.
I love that. I feel like that's a great way to end this. So thank you so much again for coming. And hopefully we will meet again soon.
Yes, we'll see you opening day of the Orchard.
Oh, 100%.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Fresh from the Hill. Music for Fresh from the Hill was written, produced, and recorded by Kia Albertson Rogers, class of 2013. You can contact him at koa3@cornell.edu. For more information about the podcast and Cornell Young Alumni programs, visit our website at alumni.cornell.edu/youngalumni.